Blog Talk Radio.
Who doesn't like some Cyndi Lauper? Yeah. Nice song. Hey, I bet you expected Deborah Lee. Surprise. Jay Hatter along with AP Taylor. Deborah's, we're on a hurricane watch. she's in the middle of two storms, gonna collide. She probably will lose power, so we're covering for her. We're gonna postpone her show to another date, and we're just going to go some open poetry. AP Taylor's in the studio with me. Hey, AP.
Hey.
Thanks for hanging out.
No, John.
Yeah,
we've got people have called in too. So I don't know whether they can do open poetry with it. We've got a few.
Go ahead and let them in. Go ahead and let them in.
Okay,
they'll be disappointed.
Let's roll. We've got We've got 270 to start with. Hello, 270.
That would be me, Wayne Gent.
Would be Wayne. And there's only one. And we have 440. Hello, 440.
Hello, you got Stephen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Very good.
Hey, Stephen.
And we have 503. Hello and welcome, 503.
Hey, this is Dave Prophet. Hi, AP.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm fine.
But that's the board. We have a whole stack of people. We have Wayne, and we have Stephen, and we have Dave, and we have you, and we have me. And did you notice something about that?
Look at the disappointment on their faces, though. Look at the disappointment on their faces.
I know.
Who's the women?
Because
not Deborah Glass.
There's five guys on the line, Hatter. How often does that happen?
Not much.
There's no women.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was
we
won't
women
night. I was the figure.
This is not like the man cave. This is like the sort of the extended man shed.
Deborah's got a following. That's it. I mean, Deborah's the most popular host we got, and you know, this is why.
Right.
Look at these got guys all over the place, and you can't have her. She's mine, mine, and mine.
No. The guys hanging from the rafters. You know, you got one here, you got one there, another one up there. I mean, you know, they're all over the bloody place. You know, we've got everybody, we've got all the guys here, and Deb's not here.
Yeah. So we're gonna her show we're gonna postpone, and we're just gonna do some opens. So if you guys want to pull something from your vault, you can stand before us and be judged. We'll let you know if
we'll
like it or not. Yeah.
Do you want to just put it on the board? Is that what you want?
Yeah. That's the sophisticated as we get, though.
Yeah.
Straight on the board.
Yeah. Who's running for time? Steven, you running tight on time or?
Yeah, as I got a show later on, so.
Okay.
You better put one on first then, Steven. That's first.
I already did.
Okay,
I'm going to jump over there.
No, I didn't look at the board. That's impressive. We've probably got palms all over the bloody place. Okay, you were first. You were first. Fair enough. Righto, Stephen. Go for it.
All right. This one I wrote. I can't remember why I wrote it. But the picture is actually the sunset.
I've got a lot of those, Stephen.
Yeah.
Somebody made me write this.
But the picture is actually one that I took, Kay and I, eating our ice cream, watching the sunset over Lake Erie. So that's one of my pictures.
Cool.
I call this Ice Cream Sunsets Leave Worries Buried on the Sandbar. The pink Catawba sunset that blushes the evening sky dips its bristles into the Erie horizon, blending sweet and dry into Great Lake Mimosa. The moon skims the shivering surface, cleaning all dyes to ebony waters as it sings its silent lullaby to the yellow perch who lie in the weeded depths, leaving us in awe as frozen desserts melt into sugar slurry and waves meeting sand pull acuity's reflections away from frigid chapters, burying them on the sandbar. Then we follow halogen beams home along the curving lake shore. End poem.
So we're eating ice cream, probably the wind in our face, the hair blown back, watching the sunset.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Nothing wrong with
it. Like you were going to get some crap for me for that. Okay. No, that's all good. Somebody, baby. It's a Great Lake Mimosa.
What are you saying? Come on, be specific.
Yeah.
What are you saying? There's nothing wrong with having ice cream, watching a nice sunset, Hatter. Nothing wrong with it at all.
None at all. None at all. It's just jealousy that's coming out of me. That's all. It's just jealous.
Here we go. Fair enough. That's what happens when it's 130 and you don't have an ice cream in your hand. I get it.
Yeah. How long ago did you write this?
Not long ago. I just remembered it was for one of our shows written about June, the month of June. So it was just this month. I wrote it to quote about June.
Now, what is the weather like in the beginning of summer? I mean, Chicago just had a tornado, I guess, set down.
Jesus.
Yeah, they did. It's pretty comfortable
here.
It did get humid. It gets pretty humid along the lakeshore, but June is usually a comfortable month. It's July and August that are really killers heat-wise and humidity-wise.
The heat. Yeah, the sudden come on of the heat causes all sorts of havoc here in California also, waiting for the mountains to start burning. We haven't had that happen yet, knock on wood. Last 2 years have been tragic. But that's where the storms are heading towards Deborah Lee across the whatever you call that, the lower lake area, and then she's got one coming up the seaboard, so... when they clash, mm-hmm. right in the middle of it. So, Steven, did you want to tell us about your show? Anything you got coming this week?
Tonight's the Mortuary of Shadows at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's just open dark poetry. Come and scare us.
Oh, nothing better than open dark.
No, when in doubt, get out the tomahawk.
Is Kate okay with you?
No, she's busy taking care of some things around the house.
Priorities. You need to do that.
How's the fishing this time of year?
Oh.
Fishing? Well, usually it's pretty good, although I have not had a chance to go out this year yet. But usually it's my favorite fishing hole. The bass are biting. Right about now. Steelhead are done.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
So we got the Prophet, he's in Oregon. Are you in Tennessee, Wayne? Wayne, are you in Tennessee? Or South Carolina?
I'm in Kentucky.
Wayne? Oh, there he is.
I'm in Kentucky.
Last week,
it's been at least 86. It's been at least 86 degrees every day in high humidity. This is my 10th day without air conditioning too. So it's been a long 10 days. I've been sweating for 10 days.
Your shirts are sticking to you, buddy.
Oh man, you can believe how bad it's been. It's been incredibly hot. I go to bed. It's 95 degrees in my bedroom.
Had a storm
come through today, then kind of cooled off enough where I could talk on the radio a little bit, but still 85 degrees in here in the office. So the air conditioner unit replaced Wednesday. 10 days without air conditioning.
Yeah,
it's
84. Are you in Lexington or somewhere else?
No, I'm in Bowling Green. I'm Western Kentucky.
Bowling Green.
60 miles north of Nashville.
Gotcha.
Is that near Boonesboro?
Gotcha.
No, Boonesboro's over in the eastern part. I'm right above Nashville, about 60 miles above Nashville.
Got it.
That's where I run. That's where I run around go crazy.
Nashville's not bad, by the way.
Very
nice.
Not bad.
No,
I owned a business there for 14 years.
Yeah, no, I like Nashville.
Steven, I've had two of my buddies move out to Ohio. They are about an hour south of Cleveland, I believe. Is that anywhere near
Cleveland Rocks?
They're good. When did they move?
Harry moved a long time ago. Glenn just moved last year.
Oh, okay. So I say they're in for some snow in that area.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's part of the snow belt.
But not this week.
He's a California boy. He's a California boy like me. He ain't going to like that much. I can't remember the town. I remember the town that I moved to. But, told me to come out to make it out there sometime. Is that far from you?
No, it's probably about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool to ever make it out that way. Yeah, it's still hotter than hell out here in California. Somebody turned up the blast furnace and then walked away.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same way up here.
We had a tragic story here in California. The our new governor has been there's been a petition to recall him. So they the opposing party, I guess, started a petition. They got twice as many signatures as they needed for the new thing, whatever the election or whatever. And so he bought some time on the commercial and said that how he wanted to itemize how much it was being spent for another election. And then he stated that there was a paper shortage, so he has to delay the vote. I didn't know there was a paper shortage.
I didn't either. Yeah, right.
I know. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That sounds like the Oregon governor.
Just a little political humor. probably we'll stop by your show later, Stephen. You don't have to leave now, but stay as long as you can.
All right.
Let's try Wayne. Do you have something from your vault you'd like to
I hadn't looked yet, but I hadn't wrote one poem this last week, so. But I'll look and find something here in just a second. I'm just trying to stay cool. I got sweat pouring down my face, so I'm just trying to hang in there. I'll get something here in just a minute.
Well, all right. Mr. Prophet's got one on the board, Hatter.
Oh, okay, Dave, yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Okay. Well, I got the idea for this when I was over in Korea. And I'll just read it, and you guys can figure it out from there. It's called Daughter of Korea.
That makes sense.
Dirt road, warm and dusty, winding synchronicity, gentle in its early morning reverie, flat in its cocos and tans. Wispy vortex dance from our truck, swirling up from the shoulders as we go to work. A line of children, little girls on their way to school, blue and white pinafores, obsidian braids flowing over their shoulders, stealing my heart in the early morning stillness. They wave at us and giggle, God bless Korea and its children, weaving their way into the heart of mine. I always wanted a daughter. Now I have several, the daughters of Korea. I am their protector. The entire U.S. Army, full of unknown fathers, are their protectors. Such a precious treasure makes me ponder my worthiness. Every morning I would wave back at all my daughters. 1967 and 1968, my tour of duty in that land of the morning calm, standing upon a mountaintop, watching the sunrise in absolute silence. Rice paddies and mountains rush off into infinite vanishing points, takes my breath away, makes me wonder. My journey back home just in time for my sister's funeral, never got to tell her goodbye. The Army sent me home early to pay my respects. 14 months later, I was discharged from their service. My enlistment had wound down. I never forgot my daughters of Korea. Foster parents plan let me adopt a little Korean girl. I supported her and her family for a couple of years. Letters in her own hand from her to me, explanations in English written on parchment in chalky whites, ideograms from her own sweet little hands to me, but tears in my green eyes even still. Reflection of those letters from her to me brings those same old tears upon their reflection. I had to say goodbye to her. Her parents were able to support themselves and her. Another daughter, this lasted a couple of years. Still those precious letters, so tiny and delicate, continued. I wrote back to them both. I hope I said the right things. I have no practice at parenting, just what was in my heart. I hope it was enough. End poem.
I'm sure it was. Wow.
Oh, you should see those girls patter. It's the most darling thing you ever laid eyes on. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know this.
So
you were stationed in Korea?
Yeah, I was up there real close to the DMZ. I was in the 38th Artillery Brigade up there. I was on a Hawk missile site. And
What year was that?
Huh?
What years were you there? What year were you there?
1967 and 1968.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate your service.
Yeah, it's a... Oh, yeah. Thanks. That picture, the background picture is coming out of Tongduchon where I was stationed, and there's a river that runs down there, and that road that you see, we used to take that out of town every day to go up to the attack site, so... I was lucky to find that picture.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of
a
ride.
You know, Korea stands, it really means land of the morning calm. And I'm not kidding you guys, at that time anyway, I could walk out, if the generators on the tack site weren't running and all the equipment was shut off, you could literally hear a pin drop out there. It was that quiet. There was no traffic noise, sirens, none of that shit that we have over here, just really quiet, you know, and that was amazing to me, you know, coming from the noisy old United States over to a place that
was that calm.
It was beautiful. I really like Korea.
Being the age mm-hmm. of having Vietnam every night at dinner time in our house, as every other American, bad. You think a little darker of certain parts of the world, but I have been told that it's one of the most beautiful places on earth is Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's some of the most,
Korea,
you know, better areas.
Korea is really rugged. It's either rice paddies and valleys or mountaintops. That's all there is. And nothing in between. There's no plains or anything like that. You know, if you get down south, the countryside changes a little bit, but for the most part, up near the northern end of Korea, it's pretty rugged, but beautiful at the same time.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's lovely.
My one of my little brothers, he's a lieutenant for the South Platte, one of the counties up here, you know, the sheriff's department. He was thinking of going for undersheriff. He didn't want to go for sheriff, but he was thinking of undersheriff. And I just found out 2 days ago that he moved. Now he had a farm that I did a lot of work on. I put pastures in and the sprinkler systems for his horses and the goats and other livestock, and reclaimed his orchard, this kind of stuff. So it surprised the hell out of me that he moved. I asked him briefly. I was able to talk to him and asked him why did he have to, because he said he had to move. Well, my brother, years ago, probably about 14 years ago, he went to Beijing and adopted a Chinese American baby girl and brought her home and raised her. And then 5 years later, he went and got another Chinese American baby and brought her back, and was had been raising them. Now, Grayson, the older girl, is probably in high school now, and the younger one would be 5 years younger, so probably still pretty young, probably fifth, sixth grade, something like this. The bullying got so bad, I go, what? Are you kidding me? Now my brother lives in basically a pretty elite area. Of the state here, and it surprised the hell out of me that I've heard that the Asian bullying has been going on. I don't understand it. How does two little girls have anything to do with the virus?
I don't get it either.
Anybody would do that or attack a little girl is an idiot.
Really?
And I'm surprised.
Yeah,
that's
horrible.
And I'm surprised. And I'm surprised my brother wasn't more active. Although him carrying a badge, he's got to be real careful reacting in that kind of a way. But he didn't go for under sheriff. I'm sure he retired. He didn't have to tell me that. And he sold the freaking farm that he loved. He built his own house on. You know, I know he loved it, but he wasn't going to have his two girls in an area. So he went, moved to another part of the state. And hopefully he won't have it find any there. I don't understand.
Gee, that's crazy
world.
For it to be that bad, my little brother had to pick up his family, sell his farm. and move, that tells me that it's a lot worse than I ever thought it might have been.
Yeah, so, the
crazy world.
I've never seen humanity at its lowest point as it has been in the last couple of years. I really haven't. The whole world's gone nuts, it seems like.
That's what I think, too.
I'm with you.
That there's been 143 kids under 12 years old get murdered this year in America. 143 kids under 12 got, and there's a 400.
I don't believe this theory of globalization is going to work. I'm not racist by any means. I was not raised that way. But so I've heard some people say, look, if I want to go to Italy, I want to see Italians. I don't want to see a mixture of everybody at once. Well, I want to go to France.
Yeah,
I want to see French people. I want the culture. And I sort of agree with that. So the people that are so down on national treasures their social life, that's what we want to see. That's made the world great. And the globalization people, the theory is great, but it's a theory. And so far, the socialistic angle, that they seem to want to go at or need to go at, humans aren't going to let that happen because we're greedy. Most people are greedy. They're biased. They're bigoted.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, you shove, you force that down somebody's throat. This is what's going to happen. The melting pot.
News media.
I don't know.
The news media sucks. I don't know. Right now. News media, they push everything in one way. Nobody's got a voice except who they want to have the voice. So it's,
I'm not trying to say that I know the answer. I'm not trying to say that I know the answer either. I'm just bringing up the fact that this doesn't seem to be working, and I hope that we figure it out. I really do. My brother should not have had to move. I know. I can tell by his voice. He was upset.
That's a terrible outcome, Heather.
Yeah, he loved the farm. And I did a lot of work for a couple of years, a lot of years up there for him, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Mm. Wow.
Yep.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm assuming this the Asian hatred thing is this because
that's
of the
bullshit.
Virus? Is it or is there something else?
Yeah, it's mostly the virus.
No,
people want to beat up. They want to beat up Asians because of the virus. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Pushing women around.
Well, I think
throwing an old man out of the train. I mean, just crazy stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think that nonsense is a reflection of the virus. I think people are frustrated because of it, and maybe some people have lost their job because of it, and so they think it's okay to go beat up on people that had nothing to do with it. You know.
Everybody wants a handout. There's so many people want to hand
out. There are a lot of Chinese
Americans. Give me.
There are a lot of Chinese Americans that have fought wars for us. They've been in our service.
Exactly.
For example, you would blame two little girls and bully them.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even as far as you're talking elementary school or junior high and high school, this is I cannot believe. So
this sounds like some overflow from their parents, you know. Those little girls getting beat up, they're probably by their classmates, I would imagine.
I don't know if it's gone so far to being physical. He didn't give me specifics.
Bullying is bullying, Hatter, isn't it, really? So it doesn't even matter if it's physical. Anyway, look, Hatter, I have a poem.
Yep.
I have a poem,
okay.
and I have a poem
right down the hall.
because I heard that Wayne was not far from Nashville, and I've only been to Nashville once.
Oh.
I've only been to Nashville
All
once,
right.
And I tried to get out of Nashville, and I was on a Delta plane, and of course Delta have their down the road like 34 minutes by flying time, and I got stuck there. So here we go. This is Keep Flying, and it goes a little bit like this. Have found a problem. A fault on the plane just moored. We can't tell you a time to resolve, so keep pushing the time out to board.
The technician is working. But on what? Not at liberty to share. So please give him a chance to sort whatever he is seeking to repair. 30 minutes away are 150 jets parked up onto piers. Obviously, none of those are available. At the Braves, chugging on beers. The desk is closed again. Gone down to talk with technician. I have no idea what he is doing, sir, but at least can leave her position. For a 7 a.m. Yes, tomorrow is the best we can do. The new slogan is to keep climbing, unaware ending past our time due. So a single man tinkers, with an Airbus tools helter-skelter, as the sun sets upon my connection a promise. I will never again fly Delta. End poem.
That's it.
Hey, let him take all the time he needs to fix that.
Yeah.
True story. True story.
Remember,
get rid of the Airbus that's 25 years old in front of me and get one of their planes that's in bloody Atlanta. One of them.
Mm-hmm.
It might take an hour there and back. Anyway.
Well, if you fly from Nashville to Atlanta, you go back in time.
You leave at 10 and you get there at 9:30. I never since flown Delta. Right? The true story. That was a couple of years ago. Have never flown Delta again.
Man, I've been on three airplane flights too.
Does everybody have Airbus now? All the airlines have Airbus.
Sorry, Hannah?
All the airlines have Airbuses now?
So most of Boeings, to be honest. Boeings are the de rigueur, Hannah. Whole heap of Boeings and a few Airbuses. Yeah. Yeah. So,
that's a scary flight.
Yeah.
But, eventually, that was my flight out of Nashville. Right. That was why I chose the
out of Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I came to Nashville and landed on the ice and bounced up in the air and take off again. So trying to land, hit the ground, and skid off the runway and take off and fly around and make another loop to land. Scared the hell out of me. I thought I was dead.
It's an interesting airport, Nashville. Nashville's like an old quarry.
I ain't argue with you.
It is. It's like an old quarry.
Wow.
The wild
place. Up and down. Yeah, it is.
What always thrilled me was when you were landing at L.A. International, it looks like you're coming right down into the ocean there or something, you know.
It's really kind of weird, you know what I mean? Yep. Yeah, no, exactly what you mean. Yeah, it looks like you're going to fall off the world, like, completely.
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
I had the privilege of going to the craziest place on earth, JFK International. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah, Texas.
Yeah.
Never been there.
Which airport is that head up?
It's in Texas.
Hold on. I got somebody screaming out in front.
Oh.
Hold on.
You need me to take over for a minute?
Yeah, be right back.
Okay, right, I'm on.
JFK's in Texas, I think. If I remember right.
I think you're right. Yeah. I usually
Houston.
Go through. There's a you can avoid what I try and do is avoid Los Angeles.
There are many
very very ordinary airports in the world, and let me tell you. LA Airport is right up the top of them. JFK is over in New York, in Queens, in New York. So
JFK's New York.
So they're some of the American airports are just huge. They really are. You know, they're just massive. They're like bigger than cities. They're enormous. So. Anyway,
the one in Dallas is pretty big.
Huge. Yeah, well,
I
just remember the one in Orlando because it's an old Air Force base and it's just huge, spread over miles. So
yeah,
Some of those are huge. But I, as I said, my main thing in going to the United States is I do everything I possibly can to avoid landing in Los Angeles Airport. Everything else works.
Well, you must have.
Then I just try and avoid Los Angeles.
You must have been to almost all the airports there is, haven't you? As much travel as you do?
Before the last year, yeah, absolutely. I worked out, what was it, 3 years ago, I worked out that I went around the globe 11 times. I circled the globe 11 times in a year.
Holy cow. Wow. You must have all kinds of 3 miles in, huh?
Yeah. Well,
are you a pilot?
I had my own carbon offset scheme, Wayne. I was, that bigger user of fuel, I was, certified internationally almost that I was using so much fuel. But anyway,
I thought you
had a lot of points.
Aren't you a pilot?
Sorry.
Fly the airplane? Don't you fly your own airplane sometime? Aren't you a pilot?
No, I don't fly. No, I don't fly. I leave that to the people who are professionals, Wayne. No,
okay.
No, I leave it to the people who are professionals.
Amateurs, huh?
No
amateurs.
You talk like a pilot.
No.
You're
no amateurs when you're talking flying planes. No. It's just like a lot of the farmers in Australia, because they're a long way from anywhere, have just got an old Cessna in the shed, and they grab the Cessna out and just fly over to see their mate, 200K down the road rather than driving. And I sort of think, I don't reckon I'd do that, I mean, just having a sort of plane flight down the dirt road and taking off on the dirt road and, hoofing your way down to your friend rather than sticking your feet on the earth, I think it just doesn't sound like a good thing to do. But anyway, if they do it.
I was a heavy guy, pick me up.
So, when in doubt, get the Cessna out and away you go.
Yep.
Cheap.
All right. Well,
fairly robust.
We're back.
You don't want something to go wrong, though. Anyways.
Okay.
I had fun in Nashville. I really like Nashville. I think it's great. Lovely place.
It's a party place right now. It's a party place.
It is.
They party all 24 hours a day. You go down Sunday night, and it's about 5,000 people there screaming on Sunday night.
Yeah, no,
at
it's
12
huge.
O'clock.
It's huge.
Yep.
And
party place.
And, we were there for a conference, and they just sort of booked out a bar for us, and it was people serving up shots, and it was just madness,
it's a pretty good place. I owned a business there for 14 years. It's a very nice place to hang out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Great
good
joints.
I had to be careful, Wayne, corporate, all that stuff. We were there for the conference, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there, too.
I was running down the hall, and I tripped over tripped over a poem.
All right.
Oh, is that
I'm share it. I'm gonna share it.
Okay. Please.
Let's hear it.
I don't think this one has ever seen the light of day. To tell you the truth, I don't think this one has seen the light of day. It's called "When the Angels Died." Go figure.
Doc.
Goes like this. Oh, no, forget that first letter. Hatters in balloons now, running out of time. The darkness will win if there's nothing there to shine. The angels that gather have caught the flu. It could be corona if the rumors are true. I never thought the day would come when angels need the masks. No volunteers to set the stars for the holy burlap sacks. The world has changed, is now my concern. I fear what's to come. In what I have learned, to survive, we must depend on others to find what's needed to save our brothers. Just how to help my neighbor, pull up your panties and do us a favor. I'm afraid we are doomed to this coronavirus. Idiots wear no masks or the virus within us. Give up your rights to treat to treat what you see. You've now killed your friends and your family due to your due to the fools that believe there's no virus. Billions will die and no God will save us. We had one shot and you all have failed. When the angels die, we will all go to hell. I was a little mad back then.
Good.
11 minutes
ago. That was dark.
It was pretty dark. We're all going to die.
Dark. We're all going to die. You know.
Yep.
I knew that years ago.
But we're still here, Hannah. We're still here.
It's just the unknown. Yeah, it's just the unknown.
Well, yeah, it is the unknown. That's true. That's true. But there's a lot less unknown than when there was. And you guys in the United States, I think you've got 70% almost of your population vaccinated. So you're doing a lot better than most of the rest of the world.
Something like that, yeah. I heard the word. There was a news report. They were talking. They had Corona up on the heading. They were certainly talking about it. But they said something. He said something like, well, they'll need a booster. And that's all I heard. I don't know what context.
Yeah,
every six, I don't know what
they're saying. Every six, seven months, you got to get another shot.
Is that right?
That's what they're talking about. That's what they're saying.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, you think about the flu shot you have every year.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they inject you with those nanobots.
Ah,
they got you.
That's it.
Making that, the Illuminati's making that, building that clone, you know, going to take your place.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, no.
They're not going to like what they find inside of me, I'll tell you that.
I haven't got my virus shot yet.
Right.
But I worked through the virus. And I never got sick. And I worked out in public the whole time.
There you go.
I'm pretty isolated here, except
shot.
For joy.
I don't shake nobody's hand. And I don't get close to nobody.
No. Hatter. This is a true story.
Yeah.
I have had my first shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had AstraZeneca, which is the British one. Yeah. Now.
Okay.
True story. Because it's not recognized by the American pharmaceutical people, because it's not American anti-vax, happened, if I went to the Bruce Springsteen show, I would have been turned away.
No kidding.
Oh, man.
Because I didn't have an American vax. Seriously?
How does that happen? I mean...
Because it happened.
Well, you know, that's the reason that people are pissed off about this whole thing. It's the World Health Organization and all of these other outfits can't get their act on the same page, you know.
I'm with you all the way.
It pisses people off, and I don't blame them, you know. Nobody knows what to think anymore. I mean, you know, somebody from the World Health Organization says one thing, and then somebody else from the CDC says something completely the opposite, you know? Everybody on the world is going, what the hell was that all about, you know? What are we supposed to believe, you know?
Let's say, babe, we still don't know.
Yeah.
We're still trying to work out what the hell it was. And we're still in the middle of it. So, anyway. But,
Kentucky don't matter. I don't know a single person that died of Corona.
Is that the only one available to you, AP, in Australia? Or do you have choices?
Yes. Yeah, no, we didn't have a choice. We basically were said, if you're this age group, you get this injection. Yeah, no choice.
So instead of us looking at it and deciding whether it's good or not, we're just going to say, well, you're not going to come play with our toys if you don't do what we say. What?
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
Yep.
I don't like toys anyway.
So if I want to go see Bruce Springsteen, I'll have to get another set of shots. I'm not sure it's worth it.
And then you get enough of those shots, and pretty soon you get sick from it.
You put three or four of those into you. Jeez.
Yeah, they'll be making
exactly.
it up. Like I said, they'll be shooting you with stuff you don't know. The nanobots. You know, that's how you call them.
Yeah, no. You'd be going buzz when you go through the bloody thing at the airport if you put too many of those things in here. But anyway, there you go. Hatter.
Yes.
Hatter. I'm on a Nashville yes. thing. And I blame Wayne. I'm on a Nashville thing. Because he talked about Nashville. I didn't realize how close he was. So I've got a Nashville poem for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've got a Nashville poem for you. Yeah?
Okay.
Because, you know, all good poems and all good songs and stuff, they all come from Nashville eventually. So, and I wrote a series of poems when I was in Nashville. So, and one of them was this one called Six Strings. And I actually think it's reasonably Nashvillian. Is that a word? Why? Nashvillian?
Yes. Nashvillians, we are.
I can do that.
That's what they're called.
Yeah,
Nashvillians.
Yep, okay. Yep, Nashvillians. So here it is. This is, appropriately, Six Strings. See what you think, Hatter. I like it a lot. It goes a bit like this. First rays dawned, distant red sands, already fine New Zealanders midday. I'd gathered to cross Pacific bands, end up at LA in a no-time been delay. Welcome the day has found a space, in flying opposing the Earth's rotation, as a soft line half a world finally traced. It's a long way to get to a final location. And it's here you'll find the welcoming ear of a six-string on the stage, with a golden beer, whiskey shots, 12-gauge. And in Nashville, plenty of stories told, a lament and is lost in their cause. And there are friends once now rolled to hear rhythm and loss finds reward. No, the sun does rise later in this town with the golden liquor taken in shots. It's taken from that aqua sky ball gown back when it warmed all the sandy knobs. And it's here you'll find the welcoming ear of a six string on the stage. The golden beer, whiskey shots. 12 goes. Okay. And pump.
I think it's probably
like that.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty redneck to me.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
That's it. Six string. It's that's it. Nashville all the way.
Yeah.
You know, I had a close friend who was African American. He was a big dude. He worked in security. Nicest guy. He looked like
yep.
Magic Johnson, man. And
yep.
I said, hey D. If I was to try to insult an African American, I know what I would say to him. What would you to try to insult me? What would you call me? And he goes,
mm-hmm.
redneck. And I go, wrong, wrong. You're not insulting anybody with redneck, man. He goes, really? I said, no. He says, how about cracker? I go, no, sorry, I'm not offended by that one either.
No. Yep.
But it was interesting what they thought, because rednecks, not, yeah. You know you're redneck
redneck.
Yeah.
When you throw your beer can in the front lawn to find your car. you might be a redneck, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's one of my family?
Famous
all that
words. Famous last words.
I think
hey,
it was
right, right. Right.
What's that, Wayne? Dang it.
I said it's the famous last words of Redneck is, hey, guys, watch this.
God damn it. Shit. Video start playing? All right.
Put something.
Ladies and gentlemen, add 12 gauge whiskey shot with cold beer, whiskey shot to 12 gauge. Sounds more like a George Thorogood.
Yeah, it does.
One bourbon, one scotch,
anyway,
one beer.
I had fun.
Yeah.
Nice town. It's a nice place.
Many
nights there.
Absolutely.
Many nights there with the airports.
I'd like to get back. Fine. I'll go to.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there but once in the last 5 years. I hadn't been there for a while. It's a wild place right now. They broke it all down into sections, and there's five sections, and it's part of town parties all night long.
Yep. Yep. We were in the downtown, and that was fun.
Now is that where the Blue Ridge Mountains are? go through there?
That, no. That's all eastern. No? That's in eastern Tennessee. That's what it is. Eastern Tennessee.
East of Tennessee, there's not a whole lot. Eastern.
Yeah, the eastern Tennessee is where
Carolina
is and all that. Yeah, Knoxville.
Oh, okay. That's where they are? Okay.
Yeah, Nashville's kind of in the center, western center part.
Yeah.
No, I just mean where it, are the Blue Ridge Mountains in Tennessee is what I was asking.
I don't know. I think I don't know. Blue Ridge.
Good question.
I'm not sure where they are. I think they're a little bit north of it, north in Kentucky. I think it's Virginia.
Maybe I'm saying
West Virginia.
Maybe
area.
I'm saying them wrong. Yeah, maybe Kentucky. I don't know. Treaty country to fly over, I guess. Isn't that where they have the underground bunkers where if nuclear war starts, a certain maybe couple thousand people will bury themselves underneath that mountain? Not near there. Where would you go?
I didn't think that was in Nashville. I thought that was up in the center of the U.S., but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, Blue Ridge Mountains from Pennsylvania to Maryland.
Oh, is that right?
Right.
That's up that high.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Southern Pennsylvania to Maryland,
of,
West Virginia, and North Carolina.
Ah. So who's
somewhere
eastern,
eastern part anyway.
The West Coast? I know AP has.
I haven't been out the West Coast. Denver, as far as I've ever gone. And, in Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's a cool place to go.
Dave, you ever been down to California?
Oh, yeah, a lot. Yeah, absolutely.
How far down or where do you usually go, like Frisco? Or?
No, we went to Norwalk, Los Angeles, Compton, around in there. My uncle used to live down there. Yeah, SoCal, and I used to love going down there.
You fly over God's country to get there. Yeah, Northern Cal.
Yeah.
Whole different animal.
Yeah, sure.
Ever been to Lake Tahoe?
But,
ever been to Lake Tahoe?
I never have, No, but
absolutely.
I remember,
beautiful,
you know, one of the things that really struck me about Southern California was driving along those orange stands that used to be alongside the road. You could just pull over the side of the road and you could get the best oranges you ever ate. Right off the side of the road there, you know.
Yeah,
and, you know, just beautiful oranges. And you know, it was, and the palm trees, that really struck me. You know, I'd never seen that before as a kid. And you could go swimming in Long Beach because the surf was warm enough to do that. You can't do that in Oregon. You'd freeze to death. Even in the middle of the summer, the Pacific out here is just icy cold, you know. If you're going to surf, you need a wet jacket, you know.
Yeah.
But,
anything higher than Point Reyes, anything higher than Point Reyes, you need it's like 54 degrees or something.
Yeah. Southern California was just a mecca for me. You know, another thing that I like, I was just getting interested in hot rods about that time, and I was about, 10, 11 years old, and they were all over the place down there. I mean, you could go into a parking lot, a grocery store parking lot, and here'd be a half a dozen roadsters and hot rods and stuff sitting out there. And it was, and these were cars that looked like they just drove right off the pages of Hot Rod Magazine. And I was just dumbfounded.
Yeah,
I got out of the car and was walking over there looking at it. My dad says, "Hey, where are you going, son?" I said, "Look at this thing." And, of course, my dad, he liked them too, so he came over and was standing around looking at them, you know.
So you're talking in the 60s? You're talking in the 60s then?
Yeah, 50s and 60s.
Early 60s?
Yeah.
It's a different animal now, man. Yeah, the only time I've been to Southern Cal, I was about 10 years old. But the only time I've been to Los Angeles, about 10 years old. And I know it's totally different than it been then. It wasn't too bad when we were down there. The skyline is totally different now. I'm sure the freeways, the haunt. I don't think I would like it down there. I'm Northern California.
From what I've heard, I wouldn't either, Heather. You know.
Yeah.
Where are you located in California?
I'm between the capital, Sacramento, and Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay.
Lake Tahoe is northeast of Sacramento, and anywhere between there at any given time. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. The snow line on the Sierras up here is just beautiful. You've got to be aware of the fires. Incidents that caused. I guess that one of the big fires that became deadly was one of those. They were lighting fireworks for to guess what they were going to announce what sex the baby was. So they were fireworks or something. Whether it's green or blue or pink. And I guess that set off one of the deadly fires up here.
Wow.
Yeah, people are so stupid.
Yeah,
just dumb. You know?
I guess it was. It is. Common sense. Some of it's common sense. A lot of people don't have it. What to do. Don't drive your car into the weeds. You know?
It's more prevalent nowadays than it used to be, I think, you know.
Well, I finally heard for the first time in my life, I've heard somebody stand up and say, look, you have to burn this wood, this dead wood, off every year. You cannot let it stack up to become a bomb. And that's what they've done. Santa Rosa, a fire took over, almost destroyed the city of Santa Rosa. It destroyed the town of Paradise last year. It killed.
Yeah, Paradise was wiped off the map.
I've been to Paradise many times, and the road in. Each side of that highway is a canyon. Both sides of it, it's a drop off. When that fire came up, it was moving a football field a second. Those people didn't have a chance.
Wow.
Well, you know, we had some pretty nasty wildfires up here too, and it destroyed the town. There's a small town at the headwaters of the Clackamas River called Detroit Lake. And the fire started burning around there, and nobody in the fire department up there did anything about it. And they said, well, it's not going to do anything. And, it caught everything on fire up there and burned the whole damn place down. You know, Jesus, how stupid. You know, it's just, and then up here, they shut all the power off on Highway 26, which runs right out my front of my house there. It's a 4-lane highway that runs east and west, and PGE shut all the power down, so it couldn't start any more fires. Well, I was without power for over a week. All the food in my refrigerator went south.
Wow.
You know, I didn't have any. I'm on a well, so I couldn't take a shower. I couldn't do anything at night. I couldn't read. I couldn't do anything. It was just a shit. It was really just shit.
Yeah.
And finally, when the power did come back on, it was just amazing.
with all the fees and lawsuits that PG&E out here had, that PG&E and or SMUD, whichever utility it was in any given area, had to pay out, they would have been better off for them to fund the fire abatement and burn off and get this dry stuff off each year, burn it off.
Yeah.
You pick a non-windy day, you go in and you burn it, you put your fire breaks in before, you get your fire retardant already, and you go burn some of this crap off. We just got so good at putting them out. We got so good at putting these fires out that it just built, stacked them one year after another, because it's supposed to burn. That's what the nature does. It cleanses the land, and when you stop it, you build a bomb, and I guess that fire started. Well, you know, Arizona, Australia, I don't know if that was the reason of your fires down there. My God, I saw the documentary on your Australia, on those Australian fires. My Lord, it's
pretty scary, Heather.
It's damn scary. Those people, they were driving into a river to try to think that was going to save them. That's all they had. That's all they could do. This was just this one group of people that they had cameras on. It's like, man, that just,
yeah.
You know, when your choices
yep.
are minimum, and you got to go dive at a river that probably is not going to save you.
It's not going to save you. Not the rivers we have in Australia. They're bloody small. They're not going to help you.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like I said, that was the first person that I've heard say it. And I'm sure the fire science, they've been telling these guys a long time to do that. They just doesn't get aired. It doesn't
yep.
get the TV time or the public behind it. Now, apparently, since people have died and the towns have vanished, maybe somebody's listening now. Because it's manpower.
Now.
You could put a lot of people to work. Even if it's a seasonal thing,
yeah.
you can pay them well. Fire crews and hotshots make good money. That would be a whole different. That'd be a whole interesting. You could be basically like the timber industry that has been thwarted in this state now. It's a whole different thing. But yeah, we need to clear this crap. Act like we know what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just somebody has to die, and there has to be a tragedy for anything to get done anymore. You know.
There is, and
you're
letting with these pseudoscience guys that are freaking depicting how we believe where the money goes, where it doesn't. Maybe we could learn off that. Can't believe everything the media is going to tell you anymore. The days of Walter Cronkite, David Brinkley are gone. This the media is not honest anymore.
Yeah.
Don't think they're telling you. If you need to know something, you go find out yourself. Because parroting or regurgitating data that you heard somebody say is probably wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
And I'm not trying to make it any kind of political party out of it. It's clear across the board. If we want to trust the media, then something's got to change. But and until then, you can't believe it. You just can't afford to believe it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
now. Wayne dropped Hannah, so it's just Dave, you, and me, the three of us.
Okay, and we're halfway through. Stumbled across the radio. This is ATOV, Cable Voices Radio. We're a group of writers. We share poetry. It's supposed to be Deborah Lee, but we're covering for her. I hope she's okay. Deborah, if you're listening,
prayers
and thoughts are with you. Go stick a kite out the window. See how far you can. Oh, no, don't do that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, she called me. She called me earlier, and I could hear the wind on the. She stuck the phone out the door.
Oh, really?
The window.
Wow.
I could hear the wind. Yeah, it sounded like a freight train. So I hope you're okay, Deborah.
Wow.
We're hanging here, just covering for you. Everything good? Let's see. Well, I'll tell you what. If you guys want to dig one more out of your vault,
yes.
We could
one each.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And let's see.
I found one the other day on an old poetry site. It's called WordPress, and I didn't even realize that I had it, and so I copied it and I went over here to my AP list and looked, and I didn't have it. So, anyway, I found it, and
Now WordPress. WordPress was that a site by itself, or is that the owners of a poetry site? WordPress was a site like
well,
a,
it
all
was
poetry.
Just called, kind of sort of half assed. It wasn't nothing nearly as nice. It's all poetry. It's just called WordPress. .com, and it was more of a blog site, I think, than anything else, but. I had a whole bunch of poetry over there. Before I got onto AP, I loaded up all the poetry that I had and dumped it over there, and then I found a whole bunch of mine over there. So I thought, well, geez, you know. But if you want me to read this one, I can do it. I got it on board.
Oh, I'm sorry, Angel's talking to us on the chat line. Obviously, person to show was rescheduled. Yes, Angel. I'm sorry. We should have said that more often. You're welcome to call in if you'd like. Deborah's show's been postponed. She's battering down the hatches from a storm. So So you stuck with AP and I and Dave Prophet?
Yep, and Dave.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Well, you want, okay, I wrote this one in January 18th of 2014, and I don't know what prompted it. It's one of those, like you said, Hatter, you kind of scratch your head and go, what the hell did I write this for? Anyway, this is called Eyes of Eight. Flashing from the fathoms scattered across an ancient galleon's deck with a sea-green tint sparkling gold from a shipwreck. To those that would gaze into these eyes of eight, she turns them on if you're brave enough to wait. Green as the pounding surf, bleeding bits of gold, with a purity that bores into your soul. Bathe you with warmth of steely green stone cold, beautiful or terrible to behold. Just depends on your attitude to look upon them with gratitude or carelessly dismiss her with worn out platitudes. Be forewarned, there are no gray areas in these latitudes. Green eyes in just 2% of the world's people, painted on this iris canvas and tinted from the simple of flowers in greens in different hues of the spectrum, a seductive kaleidoscope in green and gold beckoned, like the gaze of ancient Egyptian queens, her tilting gaze of perfect symmetry she beams to those with no excuses in the hours she chooses. Reminds me of a beautiful Medusa with eyes as delicate as flowers of anchusas, whose gaze is not a prison of stone or a sentence to atone. Beauty like this comes but once a millennium. Gazing into her eyes takes you to Elysium. She makes you understand why you are a man, searching you with her green and gold scan. These eyes, these green eyes of eight, also telling, sometimes winsome and hurt spelling, their grief in crystalline tears that flow, leaving tracks of pain in liquid woe, has seen their share of disappointment through the focal points of unwilling acquiescence, a product of 21st century thoughtlessness. These people with her heart reckless, would at times let her heart turn to stone, these thoughts to herself contemplate alone, in gathering gloom in the darkness of her room, looks at herself in the mirror, a glimmer of a smile now becoming clearer, tugs at the corners of her thin red lips. Who am I to be so glum? She quips. This brave Viking heart has been with her from the start, its ramparts forged of iron, like a furnace, the flames of passion within burn. The strange mix of gold, iron, and the sea, these eyes of eight will set you free. Probably too much for you, but enough for me. Just depends if you look or really see. The woman behind the eyes, an original artifact in no artificial disguise. What you see is what you get. The woman with eyes beset with emeralds and pieces of eight, she'll make you your soul vibrate to some cosmic symphony in the key of quasars, illuminating the heavens with her own savor. Fire red hair and sea green eyes from her pictures mesmerize me from thousands of miles. The eyes of eight upon me smile. Her name is Dorothy, and I am proud to call her my friend. And I believe every single word I said here, and I could write volumes about her and poetry.
Green eyes of eight. I love that line. Green eyes of eight. Cosmic symphony.
So something was going on there, Dave. I'm not sure what it was.
What's that, AP?
So something was going down there. There was something at the base of it. Yeah. I'm just trying to work out what it was.
You know, I remember a long time ago.
You mentioned Medusa. Was Medusa so beautiful that you couldn't keep your eyes off her, or was she so hideous that it turned you to stone?
You got me there, bud. She was pretty hideous, I think.
I think I heard both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look. Yeah, we were celebrating Peeping Toms the other night. The term Peeping Tom comes from?
No.
I don't know where that came from.
The Lady Godiva told the county kingdom she was going to ride through the village in protest, and the king said anybody that looks will be executed or punished somehow, and that you would be called a peeping Tom. Don't be a peeping Tom.
I'll be damned.
Look at Lady Godiva.
Well, there
now
you go.
I'm gonna have to look that up, make sure if I'm right. I better be right. Okay. I'll like it. I know where the term Eureka comes from.
Where's that?
Archimedes, the king of Archimedes, asked Archimedes, he thought the jeweler was shaving gold off the crown. And he asked Archimedes, he needed a way to weigh it and know if he's scraping gold. So Archimedes was sitting and ponder about it. And then one day he sat in his bathtub and all the water spilled out. And he wrote about volume displacement. So he ran down the down through the village naked, yelling, "Eureka, I have found it," in his own language, of course. "Eureka, I have found it." A true story.
Yeah, I remember
there
part of that now that you jog my memory.
Okay, the origins of the term Peeping Tom. Lady Godiva was a noble woman who lived in Coventry, England in the 11th century. Legends have it that Godiva sent advance word to the townspeople of Coventry, asking them to avert their eyes as she rode naked to the market. Oh, so she did. Okay. Yeah, as always. Mm. Once in a while.
No. You're racing it through, Hatter.
Peeping Tom, a citizen who looked out his window, apparently became a part of the legend in the 17th century. In most accounts, he was struck blind or dead. Okay.
Jeez. Wow. Pricey glance, you know.
Peeping Tom.
That'll teach him.
Peeping Tom. Wow. All right. Where were we? Oh,
well,
did you want to
do one of your palms, Hannah?
I found one. I like this one. This is the prompt was a video of this guy says, "Look, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on all these sites, but I'm still lonely." So, after reading or listening to the video, I got my own interpretation of it, and here it is. Do I need to post it again? You guys got it?
On the board?
I'll post it one more time. It's called 369.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh. Oh, God damn it. There it goes. Okay. 369, and it goes like this. I get back to it. Yeah, right at 8 o'clock, the site starts jumping, doesn't it? Okay, 369.
Mm-hmm.
I counted up all the lists, contacts that were all mine, but I'm sure it's my keyboard's life that added to 369. 369, I counted again the number that sums my life. 113 I've never met, 2 became my wife. 23 I love dearly, 68 I could have phoned. 22 still makes me smile, but only one knows I'm alone. 17 I remember dating, 33 I wish I had. 7 have a piece of my heart, but only one knows when I am sad. 35 I have recently met, 41 I remember well. 4 I might still owe money to, but when I'm happy, only one can tell. 55, I can't hear a voice. 47, asks about me. 9, I called when I'm needing a friend, but there's only one that sits with me. 27, I called teammates. 17, hugged me when I was blue. 6, I never told I loved them, and the one that I never had to. In pub.
That's neat.
That's cool. Yeah, it is.
That's neat. I think that's a neat poem, Adam. I really do. I'd like to make some sort of very clever numeric comment about it, but you've covered most of them already.
Yeah.
I can't tell. I remember, I think I won a battle. I don't know what it is. I can't see on my phone.
Right.
Did you guys see? Did it win something?
Let's have a look.
Yeah, an honorable mention.
It's the greenie.
A greenie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a greenie,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, you could have all the friends in the world on social media and still be lonely.
Yeah.
Hi, sweet. Talking about friends. How are you?
I'm good, guys.
How are you?
I love.
You're not in a storm, are you, sweet?
I'm running down the hall. I'm covered.
So.
Oh, I didn't hear who's with us now.
Sweet is with us. Sweet is with us
sweet.
Now.
Hey, sweet.
Oh, sweet pea, won't you be my girl? Won't you be my girl? Let's play her song. Can we do that?
Have you got it there, huh?
Yeah, Deborah's got it somewhere. I can't score.
Yeah.
Has she?
Yeah, it's my intro song now.
Deb,
for me.
Is it?
Is it under use, your name, or is it under Deb? Can you see it, AP? Because I can't scroll. My phone won't let me scroll.
I'm scrolling.
Down, so.
I'm scrolling.
So how you doing?
Is it under Deb?
I think it's either that is going to be under Sweet or Deb. So, CP, how
okay.
are you?
I'm looking.
I'm wow.
Cool. How did you do? Did you have competitions? Did we win?
Sweet Pea. Is it Oh Sweet Pea by Tommy Rowe?
Yes.
A minute of sweet pea.
Yeah.
Sock off.
A lot of times I heard that song.
Court dances, homecomings. Yeah, all good.
Hmm. So, we haven't heard from Deb Sweet. We assume she's okay, but we assume she's just sort of in the midst of the storm stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in the basement or in a bathtub and doing what she needs to do.
Yeah, all that stuff. So
maybe she can give us a wave on the chat line. She doesn't need to get on a computer.
She could do that. She could do that. And the good news, Deb, show. So I sort of whizzed by about 5 minutes before the show was due to start, and Deb was saying somebody sign on. So there you go. Works out okay.
Anything else?
You sort of fuzzed out there, AP. I couldn't hear.
You did fuzz out.
Oh, sorry. I said, what poems are you doing? Do you guys have a theme or a non-theme or?
No. We have. It's deliberately open.
Oh, it's open.
Anything you like, as long as it doesn't have a theme.
Well, we were thinking the equations of Copernicus and Archimedes, but yeah, we're open.
Let me see if I can find something from Archimedes. I have to pull out some of my old Greek stuff there. All right.
And let's see, I looked up what, where was it? Today, if you were following the national holidays or what the appreciation days or tribute days here in the States, today was National Peaches and Cream Day, National Gong Day. Yeah, appreciation of daylight savings time. Yeah, at some point, too much is too much. It goes on. We've got also along with that, we have the National Gong Day, National Skateboarding Day, Daylight Savings Time, National Selfie Day, and National Arizona Day. Okay, but that's today. Tomorrow, we have, National Chocolate Eclair Day. Okay, June 22nd. It's also National HVAC Tech Day. HVAC Tech Day. That's your air conditioning heat guy. And that's his day. And then National Onion Rings. That's tomorrow. Right, so have some onion rings. Hug your AC guy. Give him a chocolate eclair.
Well, Hannah,
I
got a present for my birthday the other week, which was a book of combined poetry, and 500 poems put together by a local musician. Everything from Shakespeare through to Seamus Heaney and everything in between. It's really interesting. It's a remarkable little collection.
Oh, really? So a lot of old stuff.
Just imagine somebody saying to you, put together your 500 favorite poems in the world, and that's what this person did.
Wow.
So, and it's really cool. Well, it's actually got stuff from before Shakespeare. It's actually got a couple of pieces out of the Iliad, out of Greek poetry.
That reminds me, AP.
Yes.
You write our masterpiece. Our generation, time affected, you know, like the beginning, the Homer and these poets.
I was going to say, I have some Homer for you. I can quote some Homer for you now, Hannah, because I have Homer in front of me. There you go. Translated, of course, from the Greek. But
AP and I, we've been in a battle over, well, should it rhyme or not? I mean, he's more free, and I'm a little rhyme. So
that's it.
We're going to need some help there from our friends.
Well, we do. So, but I'm most excited to go through this. There's only a couple of Banjo Patterson poems in there, Hatter. So, which is a shame, but that's enough. You know, a couple's enough. So he goes for Clancy of the Overflow, and I can understand that. And the original Man from Iron Bar. But which is perfectly fair. Good book. So, but of course, I would have Black Swans in there. And
is Sweet Pea... Sweet Pea looking for something? Or him a Sweet Pea?
I think Sweet is looking for something. She's searching.
I am. I'm looking for something.
Did you guys catch Rebecca Robinson's piece the other night? She's a new member of our group. She recorded a song that blew me away. I thought it was very well done. Breathe,
Plus.
Baby, breathe. It's in the studio. She said we could play it. She didn't have a problem with us playing it. Sweets, did you happen to catch that?
No, I did not. I would love to hear it.
You didn't? Okay. Let's see if I can scroll. If I can scroll, I'll go find it. Pretty sure that's going to be in a day.
Probably instead. Can I share one of my favorite poems? It's not a Banjo Patterson poem. Why do you do that?
Go right ahead. Yes, please. Please do. Please do.
Okay. Well, the poem that I want to find is actually not on All Poetry because it's we don't have a whole stack of poems. But this is a wonderful Australian poet called Oojuru Noonacal, and she wrote a whole heap of poems. She was actually a public servant, interestingly enough, up in Queensland, and had a long history of being in the public service, but wrote some wonderful poems. And I'm just going to try and find the one that I really like. So bear with me for two ticks while I do that. But and it's about a snake, and so we'll see if we can see if we can find it. So I thought it would appeal to you, Sweet. So,
yeah, of course, love snakes.
It was carpet snake. In fairness, it was you know, so it wasn't a nasty snake. It was a sort of a friendly snake. Yeah, so
friendly snake. Yeah. I have one of Hatter's favorites.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Hatter, you want to hear some of your favorite dark, dark ones? I know you love this one.
One of my favorites?
Yeah. This is your favorite, one of your favorites of mine.
Jesus. Crowing, look at me.
Well done, you.
Yeah.
Have you got up on the board, Sway?
Yeah, it's on the board.
Cool. We're in your hands, Sway?
Yeah, it's one of Hatter's favorites.
Yeah.
I found your head in the forest. I did not feel the woods. I've walked her paths and named the fairies. Oh, no. Dead trees. I've learned the languages of imps and wizards as I played the in-between of springs and summers and mourned fallen leaves dying under winter's unyielding freeze. In a moment, my sister ruined my peace, my sanctuary, lying on the ground, bloody, dismembered, raped, murdered, slashed the dreams of pixies. My forest, eyes perilous.
Can't hear you. Hello.
Hello, Sweet.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
We lost you.
That's it.
We lost you. You faded until you were gone.
Are you better? Can you hear me now?
It's much better. Yes.
Okay. All right. A dead sister's head missing, hundreds of people searching. I cry. All trees are innocent. My mother wrought with the wretchedness of the thought of having to bury her baby unwhole. I cringed at every sob, for I knew where that little shit's head sat. Her bee eyes were staring in the dark, inside my uncle's trunk. That brat winked at me and stuck out her tongue. As the night cooled the air, I heard sister's fingers rapped at her bedroom door. Open the window, I'm cold, she mumbled, with a mouthful of dirt and flowers tumbling from her lips as she spoke. She whispered a story that left my bed sheets wet for years, a tale so bloody I would never sit alone in the dark. and I scream when I hear her voice in the wind. I find peace looking out the window at the forest where the fairies live, in old tree trunks, imps and wizards still all there. I had followed her into the woods that night. My mama found me, stroking her hair, moaning, dirty and cold. I had the knife our uncle used and a blanket I had found. And a blanket I had from my sister's bed. I made my sister dead and put me in the crazy hospital where I will live until I am dead. Mama doesn't visit anymore. I think she died too. But each night I hear tap, tap, click, clack, and my sister waves to me from the woods. And home.
Gee, Merry Christmas.
Freaking me out.
That is dark.
Yeah, really. I guess.
How to love that.
A little bit. Yeah, I think that was the night I realized you were disturbed, like the rest of us. Part of us just didn't see it.
Really?
Coming. I just didn't see it coming. Yeah, I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, there you go. No. Well, the only possible response to that is a snake poem. Yeah. And if I had my top 200. Poems of all time, and I'd done a Paul Kelly and put them all together in one book, this one would be in it. This is Ujiru Nunukul, The Ballad of the Totems. It goes a bit like this. My father was a Nunukul man and kept the old tribal way. His totem was the carpet snake, whom none must ever slay. But mother was of the Peewee clan, and loudly she expressed the daring view that carpet snakes were nothing but a pest. Now one lived inside with us in full immunity, for no one dared to interfere with father's stern decree. A mighty fellow, 10 feet long, as we lay in bed, we kids could watch him round a beam, not far above our head. Only the dog was scared of him, and we'd hear his whines and growls, but mother fiercely hated him because he took her fowls. You should have heard her diatribes that followed in angry torrents, with words you'd never see in print, except in D.H. Lawrence. I kill that robber, she would scream, fierce as a spotted cat. You see that bulge inside of him? My speckly hen made that. But father's loud and strict command made even mother quake. I think he'd sooner kill a man than kill a carpet snake. That reptile was a greedy guts, and as each bulge digested, he'd come down on the hunt at night as appetite suggested. We heard his stealthy, slithering sound across the earthen floor, while the dog gave a startled yelp and bolted out the door. Then over in the chicken yard, hysterical fowls gave tongue, loud, frantic squawks accompanied by the barking of the mung, until at last the racket passed, and then to solve the riddle, next morning he was back up there with a new bulge in his middle. When father died, we waited and cried, our grief was deep and sore. And strange to say, from that sad day, the snake was seen no more. The wise old man explained to us it was his tribal brother, and that is why it's done a guy, but some looked hard at mother. She seemed to have a secret smile. Her eyes were smug and wary. She looked about as innocent as the cat that ate the pet canary. We never knew, but anyhow, to end with tragic rhyme, I think we all had snake fatigue. One day about that time in the poem.
That's cool.
All right, that was excellent, AP. Absolutely excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like the ear of the hen and everything else.
What?
I think it's a fantastic poem.
Be quiet, Sanford. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I just love that poem. Sweet. I just think it's a brilliant poem.
Yeah, but Dave, does he tap dance?
What's that?
Does he tap dance?
Oh, no, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, Shelly came up and trimmed his toenails the other day, a couple of days ago, so he don't tap dance no more.
Oh, see. Okay.
Not,
not like Zephyr used to.
Yeah.
Do the old soft Zephyr shoe on the living room floor.
Yeah. I've gone across this warehouse. I've gone through the vault. I can't find that song. It's probably there, but I can't find it.
Oh well.
I've got a copy of it though. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
She did such a good job, man. I can't explain it. You're just gonna have to hear it. And since I'm in the music file here, look at these. Wow. I find something I want to hear. That's gonna put on.
There's some stuff there, Hannah.
There is. Look at this file.
There's some stuff there.
Oh, Lord. Let's try this.
The time has come. We've been waiting for this all night. We've got Lord teamed up with Marlon Williams right now with their twist on a bit of Simon and Garfunkel. Check it out.
Good evening, Preston. How are you doing tonight? It's a pleasure to be here with you. It is such an honor.
Thank you for coming. I have my dear friend, the talented Marlon Williams, with me.
That is the middle ground.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seat while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Beneath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs their voices never share. And no one dare disturb the sound. The silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arm that I might reach out for you. But my words like silent raindrops fell. Echo in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls, whispered in the sound of silence.
Everybody. Come on. She's got to get back there. What was he? Let you be judged on how you sing Sound of Silence. Pretty gutsy.
Yeah, guy. Really.
So, well, we're down to like less than 20 minutes to go.
We are.
Anybody got any news they want to share?
Well, I got one on the board. If you guys want to hear it, I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Go for it.
All right, we've got time.
Okay.
Got a caller. Hold on. Hello and welcome, 506.
Hi, it's Lady A.
Hey, Lady A. You joined us for the last bit of makeup show.
I was out all evening, so I just got the tail end of Deb's message, and I thought I would try to catch you anyways. How are you all?
Oh, I think
we're okay. How are you?
Yeah.
That's the question.
A good time.
I think sleep dropped.
Good, thanks.
Sleep, what's it?
So out on a date?
So do you? No. Not so lucky. So are you, what are you doing, open
right
poetry, or are you just chatting, or what's going on tonight?
Open poetry. Today, you want to inspire?
What's that?
Did you want to inspire us with your poem?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I could. I could write one, or I have written a couple of them lately, but some have been seen. Let me see here. I guess I could
use
this one.
Dave, you can use the board, yours.
What's that? Do you want me
the
to go ahead and read
yours.
It? Okay,
yeah,
All right. This one's called Thinking for Yourself or Why I Hate Buzzwords. I do too. OMG, oh my God, is a transcendental compound word in its repeatability. You can string together as many oh my gods as you like, one after the other. It goes on into infinity if your vocabulary is so limited. Oh my God times two is not the same as oh my God squared. We are allowed one, oh my God. It's okay to say, oh my God, once is enough. Any more means your vocabulary is inversely proportional and limits to the square of how many times you have said, oh my God. Badass is equal to the cube root of how ignorant you really are, or a product of 21st century public schools in the United States of America. Killer approaches the limit of your ability to describe anything greater than or equal to whatever you can think of. Insane, a weak approximation to any of your adjectives that you regularly toss around like your apparel into the dirty clothes box. Hashtag, another way of saying pound sign. I like the latter myself. How did hash find its way into symbolism? Last time I heard it was food. Dichotomy, everything has two parts diametrically opposed with no gray areas in between, which rarely exists in reality. Think for yourselves. Don't borrow buzzwords just because you think they're cute. End poem.
I like hashtag, and I thought hash was another term that was food as well. I quite like that, Dave. I must have come from your generation, but I'm with you all the way on hash, I've got to say.
Yeah, me too, AB. Oh, I don't know. I just get so sick and tired of everybody just saying the same crap over and over and over again. I mean, you know, it's
like young people saying like every second word, like.
Yeah.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it. You're right.
You know, one of my pet peeves is if you're on Facebook, everybody likes to use those cute little made-up signs. I don't know if there's some elf sitting around someplace that thinks of all those signs and puts them in a file so that people on Facebook can use them. You know, people are too lazy to think for themselves. They can't think up anything clever to say, so they grab one of those stupid little signs and put it up there, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
That's lame.
Crazy stuff. I actually had a quote on poetry, Dave and Lady A, from my favourite book that I got given for my birthday. And Hatter, his introduction says this. No.
What?
Many people I know say they feel poetry is difficult, that it seems worthwhile, but that worthiness puts them off. Fair enough. But poetry is friendlier than they think. It's where we shop, where we work, and where we play. There you go. That's my quote on poetry.
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, we were like number five to be invited into the internal ship, or we were the number five to be assassinated. Poets had a strong position inside back in the day.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
They did. They were seen as being sort of sages, Hannah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people today are too geared towards pictures and are too, I don't want to use the word lazy, but let's just say it anyway, to read and to decipher what is being said. You know, they want instant pictures and movies or videos, and they don't take the time to read anymore and to understand the English language and poetry in particular.
I think the laziness comes into having to your own thought about something. They'd rather have somebody else than regurgitate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, I agree with you, Andrea.
Well,
I think you hit the nail right on the head.
You know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's kind of sad because even the art of conversation is lost to so many because, you know, you can sit at the table and text each other when they're sitting right across from each other instead of talking.
Yeah,
that blows me away when I see that, man. You know, I had a friend, you guys won't believe this. I got to tell you guys this story before it evaporates. I had a friend come up one time, and he told me, he says, I said, well, how come every time we start talking about cars or something, you turn it into a contest? And he says, well, I'm jealous of you. And I said, why are you jealous of me? He says, well, he says, you know all this stuff. And I said, well, I read. You know, I said, I buy books and I read. I said, the tooth fairy didn't come around and whisper all this knowledge in my ear about it, you know, one night. You know, I said, the information is out there if you're not too damn lazy to go look it up and read about it, you know? God, I bet you I watch probably 4 or 5 hours of YouTube every night, and it's everything from math and science to machine shop technology, you know, stuff like that. You know, if my nose isn't in a book, it's on there, you know, watching some of these really excellent instructors and teachers and stuff, you know. I don't know. I'm not the show answer, man. I don't know everything there is to know, far from it. But, you know, I like to learn, you know, and I'm not too old to learn, I don't think, you know.
No, and there's plenty of stuff out there to learn, though, that there is. And there's lots of ways to learn stuff. You don't have to read a book. You can watch programs. You can do whatever you like to things that work for you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But, getting back to what Andrea said.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say. It's just, you know, Andrea said that she thinks people are too lazy to read. I agree with her. I think they are. You know, a lot of my poetry tended to be long. I'm cutting it down. And you wouldn't believe how many people come on there and say, well, this is way too long. I it turns me off. And I felt like saying, well, you're just too damn lazy to read it, you know. Why don't you go read the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner? That's 18 or 19 pages worth, you know? And it's considered a poem.
Yeah.
I usually shut them up when you hit them with something like that. But, yeah, it's just laziness. That's all. A lot of people don't know how to read, you know, and get anything out of it anymore either, I don't think, you know.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. But there is, you know, it was interesting. I had some business up in North Queensland, and there was a real problem in North Queensland because there's a lot of elderly sort of migrants came into North Queensland, and there's a lot of people up there who can't read and write that are basically illiterate.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's
so never...
I did throw a poem up there if you're interested. I don't mean to interrupt the conversation, but
if
you want me to.
Love you to.
So on the board already, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the conversation, but.
No, go for it.
This is called Our Roots, and it was a picture prompt for one of Deb's shows, and this picture really jumped out at me, and it goes like this. Ra shines upon rainforests at the edge of the Sahara. Golden rays peek through the canopy of green. She is beauty with ebony skin. Some say she is Eve. Onyx eyes gaze upon her queendom. She is black pearl. From her womb the world was born. Brown sugar, ivory bones. All history points to this place where through the mist she's seen. Mankind dispersed over time, one thing remains the same. Bisque, cream, vanilla, cocoa, chocolate, brown are her DNA. Negro goddess, Earth's mother, titanium strength like no other, shaped her young to work the land, food, herbs, and medicines. Healer, trader of goods, negotiates our place on Earth. Humans, white to black, no hate in between. We are human beings. Ra shines upon the rainforest at the edge of the Sahara. She is Eve, black pearl, Earth's mother. Our roots, her DNA. End poem.
Hmm. Well done, Andrea.
Get
along.
Gotta get along, man. So, we weren't doing much commenting, lady. It's not that we didn't enjoy it. We just weren't doing a lot of commenting on the poem, rereading it and enjoying it. How long ago did you write this?
Well, a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay.
Do you believe in it?
Yeah.
Of course she does.
Of course. You know, we were discussing earlier, Lady A, about this globalization. I made the comment of I don't think it's working. I would rather, if I went to Italy to see Italy, I want to see Italian things, not a combination of everybody that went through there sometime. Is that
yeah, it's becoming more and more of the lines are blurred now. There's an advertisement on TV for a Japanese beer, and they're talking about how they mix the Western and the Eastern best of each world to bring this about this beer. And it I don't know, there was just something different about it, because Japan is very Westernized. And compared to a lot of, and I think there's something to be said for all the different cultures. But then again, you know, there's so much blending of the races and cultures that you are becoming a melting pot of many.
Well, one culture is always going to feel superior to another. That's just the way that humans are. It's just not going to work. I mean, not the way we're set up now. I mean, I'm just being realistic. I'm not trying to be critical other than I don't have the answer. I mean, but, you know, the
well,
further down that road
we
get, the worse off
we are. Control, it's going to be a shit show. So, I mean, you're going to have, you know, it's not going to, because we've ruined our lives. We've ruined the world. We've ruined the earth. So whenever there's a human hand involved, there's always somebody that wants more or takes more.
Now we
got to
include now we got to include the moon and Mars, huh?
Well,
you know, mess that up too.
You know, they're trying to strike down. What did they were saying the other day? They were talking about Mother's Day, and now they Mother's Day and Father's Day, and now they want to have it like Personhood Day. You know, I mean,
oh,
it's ridiculous
Jesus.
How far they've gone.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Like, it's so ridiculous.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's
you
true. Our Pandora's, Pandora's box has been opened. And
yep.
This is the result.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
Love it, leave it. I don't know. I'm a traditionalist. I don't care what beliefs you have. Don't take it away from what I experienced. Take it away from my kids. Because who are you? Who are you to take that away from me?
Well, it's certainly being done in the Western world here. It's pretty bad because everybody's kowtowing to some other person's personal beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and so much so that they're sacrificing our own heritage and beliefs and customs and traditions, and yet you promoting somebody else's just in case they're offended by ours. Well, if we went to their country, we would have to assimilate into their country. And
well, that's it. We are not. I don't care who says what. We are not a racist country, no more than any other country is. So all we can do is go forward. Looking back is only going to freaking separate us further. Hey, I want to take this time to thank everybody that participated in the show tonight. I hope Deborah Lee, I hope you're fine. I hope you're listening. And if you are, I hope you're surviving the sleep under the bed, maybe. I don't know. Wayne, thank you for calling. I saw Linda out there. Thanks, Linda. Lady A, thanks for calling. Dave Prophet, always a pleasure. AP Taylor, thanks for calling and sharing this for me. We were filling in for Deborah Lee. She will have her show. It's been postponed. We will have that up there. This week, I'm not sure what's happening except for Saturday. Saturday is AP Taylor and I at Deborah Lee.
It is.
Orange.
Yes.
Orange. Anti-rhyme. Don't bring no rhyme. Don't bring no rhyme.
Show.
No rhyme. And
no.
You know how much that's going to hurt me? That hurts me to say that.
We're talking oranges. The unrhymable word.
Okay, we got one minute to go. That's
1 minute to go.
Mm.
Counting.
That was fun. I enjoyed myself tonight. That was fun.
I thought it was fun. Thanks, Doug. I didn't know how we'd get through that hour, Adam, but we did. Well, 2 hours. I didn't know how we'd get through 1 hour, but we got through two.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, we handled it. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. I think that was me with 10 seconds to go.
How was that?
Something along those lines.
Sorry.
That was scary. That's what that was. That was
I hit the
sweet
wrong
pea on the drugs.
I hit the wrong button. Sorry, man. Hey, everybody listening, have a great evening. Have a great evening, rest of the night.
You.
If you're the West Coast, East Coast,
thanks,
have a good
Adam.
Sleep.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks,
thank
you guys.
And,
thanks,
yeah.
Okay.
Act like
you
know everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Be nice to everybody.
Nice, I said.
Be excellent to one another, as Ted would say.
See you, Anna.
See you later, man.